If you grow up with a father like Billy Kim, you go along with anything. It's fine. Good morning. So I feel like I'm at home. I grew up in South Korea. I currently live in Southern California, and my education was received in Tennessee. Anybody from Tennessee? Yay! Alabama? Yes. And Kentucky? Yes. So I feel like I'm right at home when I come to Bellhaven, and what a welcome that you provide your guest here. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So Dr. Billy Kim, my dad, and Dr. Roger Parrott, they have this bromance thing going, and it's kind of cute to watch, right? They're their own fan clubs for each other, so it's beautiful to watch. So I work for my dad at the radio station. And when you work for your dad can still tell you what to do, right? So he told me today, be short and speak from your heart. Whoops. So I will try to do that today. I don't know about you, but I love receiving gifts, and I've received plenty already from Dr. Parrott and your wonderful staff who greeted me with hospitality and faculty. But I've received over the years high-value gifts that had very little meaning, and low-value gifts that had a lot of meaning and a high impact as well. I'm sure you have too, so now you're thinking about the gifts that you've received. So this is a little forewarning. If I get boring, or if you lose me, just get out a list, sheet of paper, and start making your Christmas list gift, what you're gonna give and what you're gonna receive, and you'll still be on topic, okay? So one day I showed up for my hair appointment, and I come to the door and the lights were all out. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, scanning my calendar, I must have the wrong day. The salon is closed today. But then I see a little movement inside. So I bravely open the door and walk in, and the light goes on, and everybody in the salon, it's a big salon, starts singing a very off-tune happy birthday. Have you ever received that kind of gift? Somebody, a whole group singing to you an off-tune happy birthday? It's priceless, it's amazing, it's crazy, right? So then, that wasn't enough, right? My hairdresser walks out with this plate, and on it is this Twinkie. Do you all like Twinkies? Yeah. I can't get rid of that college habit. But I don't know what it costs these days. What, 25 cents? I don't know. How much is it these days? Anybody know? Oh, that expensive. Oh, I couldn't afford it anymore. But anyway, so with a candle on it. And what was amazing about that is how she got to get everyone to sing, I don't know. That was just so crazy. And it had an impact on me that day because I realized it doesn't really cost a lot of money or a lot of effort to positively impact someone on a day that was meant to be special for them. And it made me thinking, how can I do this for other people, right? It doesn't cost much, it's not a lot of investment, but just a little bit of attention to thinking about how you might impact someone positively is really all it takes. So that day forward, I start looking for ways to make somebody, small acts of kindness, make somebody happy or share with them a meaningful connection. So try it sometime and see how fun it is, right? I'm sure you already do this. So the best part is it doesn't really have to cost much. And speaking of categories of gifts, of course there are high-value gifts that also have high impact and that meet a high need for us, the receiver. And there's another category that I want to share a story about. But first of all, this one that has maybe possibly a high cost associated with a diamond, but if you give that to somebody who is very hungry and they don't have the network to sell the diamond to make it, turn it into food, then that's a no-purpose gift, right? Very low value, no impact for that receiver. So there's this other category of gift that I want to share a story from, and this is the high-value, high-impact gift. So I have to tell you the story of the late Sergeant Carl Powers to tell you about this example of gift of high value and high need, meeting a high need. So Sergeant Carl Powers came to South Korea in the 50s to defend freedom and democracy in Korea and to fight for his country, right, for democracy. And he fought in the Korean conflict. But when he went back home, he made a very firm decision to educate one Korean boy. And that boy happened to be my dad. So he decided to give dad, Billy Kim, an American Christian education. And he sacrificed. This wasn't a generosity out of much, out of plenty. He sacrificed his GI Bill to pay for my dad's 9 years of education. I don't know who's paying for your college bill, but I have three daughters, and let me tell you, it's not cheap, right? Because of Uncle Carl, we call him lovingly Uncle Carl, dad was able to receive a Christian education, but also he was able to receive the gift of Scripture, John 3:16, and salvation, and a calling into the ministry. So the next gift I want to talk about is this John 3:16 gift that our family received. The first scripture given to our family was John 3:16, and it was given to my dad when he was 17 on the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, when he was attending the academy there. A roommate shared the gospel with dad, and he had a Korean Bible, so he looked up, 하나님이 세상을 이처럼 사랑하사 독생자를 주셨으니, and you could probably recite this in English, right? So he looked at that scripture, and his roommate shared in English, but he was able to understand enough to receive the gift of salvation. On that day, he received Jesus Christ as a personal savior. The first gift I received that had everlasting value was also this gift of salvation. My dad shared with me a Bible story and shared with me also that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that unless we repent and come to him and ask for forgiveness, that we would not have forgiveness or eternal life. So accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior through this Bible story that my dad shared, I got this wonderful gift of a life of personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The gift of John 3:16 changed the Kim clan's life. Because before dad understood this, no one in his family were believers or Christians. When he went back to Korea, though, he witnessed his whole family, and everyone in the Kim clan now believes in Jesus Christ and has a personal relationship. And not only that, more than 50 family members are serving God all over the world in full-time ministry. So that's one gift that translates to that much impact, high impact. Another gift of high impact, high value I'd like to share with you is the legacy of prayer, the gift of prayer. Every morning at 4:30, sometimes even earlier when he has jet lag, right? I know I can find my dad in this little closet, smaller than closet room. And you probably have praying grandparents and parents as well. That gives you strength every day when you're stressed, when you're burdened about something. So when the American mission builders came to Korea to lay out my parents' home, they had this odd little space, too small to even be a closet. And the builder architect did not know what to do with this odd little space. It was a little too big to just waste and leave empty. But, you know, my dad knew exactly what that space would become. It's not a showy room. It's not on the home tour when we have guests around. But it is there, and family members, we all know it is there, and we know who spends a lot of time in there. This gift of prayer strengthens me each day, and especially, particularly on rough days, right? It gives me that strength to go on, because I know I have parents who are praying for all of us. And you may like to know that in this space, that's why I'm giving you the image, my dad, Billy Kim, prays for your institution, you all, every day, and Dr. Parrott, every day. I hope you receive that as a gift. Another high value and high impact gift that I want to talk about is the gift of God's Word given to all of us. Strangely, though, not all of us value the gift of God's Word equally. Let me tell you a story about a 15-year-old North Korean boy. Our FBC, Far East Broadcasting Company, Korea, broadcasts for over 60 years, and the station that I have the privilege of serving in Southern California, we broadcast over 1 kilowatt. And if you know radio, you know what that signal strength is. So it broadcasts out of LA. I live in Orange County. I cannot hear over the long mass LA area being so big. The Korean station broadcasts with 250,000 kilowatts, making it the third most powerful transmitter site in the world. Because of this status, we get to send radio programming to North Korea, all over South Korea, to North Korea. If you know geography, you know how far this could be, right? South Korea and Japan, China across the bay, Russia even. And so that's a wide spread. And with the North Korean population audience, we cannot get analytics, right? We can't go in and count and ask them how many people listen. But there's an intelligence source that we can gather information on, and from the defectors themselves who come and tell us their testimonies. We know a lot of listeners listen underground, and there are some underground churches. So this 15-year-old boy's story comes by way of a missionary, a defector telling a missionary at the border, and a missionary coming and telling us this story. He wanted his own Bible so badly. We had a program at that time that broadcast reading scripture word for word, chapter by chapter, every single day, about four chapters a day, reading the entire Bible in 365 days. Have you ever done something consistently for 365 days other than sleeping and eating? Right, it's hard to discipline to do that. And not only that, he had the threat of, what do you think you get if you get caught listening to outside source radio in North Korea? Do you know? Work camp or death? Those are the two options, right? But this boy risked his life, listened to this channel every day for 365 days. Copied down, and paper was a high commodity, hard to find. He found scrap pieces of paper, copied down the entire Bible. We saw a picture of it. The volume is multi-volumes, because our Bible is on thin onion paper, and it can be very compressed and thin. His Bible is many, many stacks of paper. It's a sight to see. I don't know if you hunger for God's word that much. I have to say, I may have 10 copies of all the versions that you can think of in my home, and I have to say, this is a gift of reminder to treasure God's word more, because I can't say that I treasure God's word like that 15-year-old Korean boy does and did, right? So I hope this will serve as a gift of reminder to you as well to treasure and honor God's word, because why? I think when we do this, God will show us his will clearly and show us his dream and his divine plan beyond ourselves, beyond our family, beyond our community, into the world, what he wants you to do because you're learning and following in his word. When we treasure him by treasuring his word, I'm confident that he will show you and me the clear way forward. So the next one I want to talk about is the gift of generosity. And I'm not talking about the generosity, the giving that you do when you have plenty. I'd like to talk about the giving that we do even in lack. It's like the story in Matthew, in Mark, what is it, 12, 41 to 44, where we hear about the widow's mite. Currency-wise, what she gave was a small amount, but sacrificially, it was a big amount for her, and the impact was great because she gave in lack. And God honors her by putting her story in the parable of Mark, Gospel of Mark. So this is the type of generosity and giving I'd like to mention in a story as well, if you will. God finds a way to honor those who give even in lack. So I learned this lesson of giving in lack from my little brother, John Kim. He's a pastor as well. One day when he was getting his, finishing his seminary degree and getting his ordination, and his birthday was nearing, I decided months before that I would save up, because I knew he was going into the ministry. He didn't have a dress shoe, you know, the thing that you have to wear, especially back then, you have to kind of dress. Now pastors can wear blue jeans, but those weren't the days. So I save up my earnings because he has flat foot, and knowing that he was going to stand a long time preaching or visiting people, I decided to give him this orthotic shoe. It was a little bit reach financially for me to buy him this pair of shoes, but I happily go and get it and present it to him. He was very happy to receive this gift, and it fit perfectly. So he wears it for several months. And then one day he walks home, and I notice those shoes are not on his feet. And the lesson that I hadn't learned to that point was, once you give a gift, you release it, right? I wasn't really good at releasing. I was like getting ready to get really upset, right? Where are those shoes that I spent several months of salary on, right? But then he told a story. And this is the lesson I learned from him. He was walking home. He saw this man. He said simply, he looked like he needed the shoes more than he did, right? This was his only dress pair of shoes. I don't know what he was gonna preach in the next Sunday. Sock foot, maybe. In Korea, you can do that. It's okay to go barefoot up onto the pulpit. It's actually a thing, right? So rather than getting upset, I learned the lesson of giving even in lack, because God honors that kind of generosity. And God finds a way to honor those who give in, even in our lack. So I hope that this story will give you also a reminder to look for places that you might give even in lack. So the next story I want to talk about is the gift of the great mind that God gives us, right? And I have a story to go with this as well. Now you're kind of getting the theme of I love to tell stories, right? One day driving back from LAX, and I travel a lot because our global company is in 148 places, various countries, 50 languages, 100 countries. So driving back from LA, I asked my daughter to reach into my purse and grab me my cinnamon mints. You like Altoids? It's really spicy. I think the tagline is curiously strong, right? And she says, Mom, and she's digging for a while, you don't have any cinnamon mints in here. All you have are those Altoid peppermints. I say, really? Are you sure? Look again. Dig to the bottom. So she digs a little bit longer. No cinnamon mints. She pulls out this tin and says, is this the one you mean? What do you think I'm thinking? That's when it hit me. Those are peppermints, right? But I realized three things at that moment. The red banding, the edges, and the packaging led me to believe that it was cinnamon. And this was based on prior experience and previous purchase record. Do you know what the color banding is on the cinnamon tin box? It's burgundy, and it's very similar to this red that you see here. So when I hastily went to the store and grabbed the cinnamon mint off the shelf, the red and burgundy, I just thought, well, this is cinnamon. I know this because I've bought cinnamon before. Grabbed it, put it in my purse. I must have tasted that peppermint. You know, it was really peppermint. More than 20 times, and I still thought I was having cinnamon mints. Have you ever done this? You're thinking I'm crazy, right? Okay, so then I'm going to prove you wrong. How many of you know the FedEx logo? Who can come up here and draw it if I asked you, invited you to draw it? You know it. You look at that very carefully. How many of you used FedEx for packaging, mailing things? Yeah, most of us. How many of you, raise your hand and be honest, how many of you have noticed the arrow going from the E to X? Oh, you're a smart bunch of group. Okay, this won't work. I can't prove it, sorry. No, but see, this when things become environmental print to us, we no longer pay attention to the details in that print, right? So this is what happened with this tin mint box. I saw the letters, but I ignored because I believe it was still cinnamon. I know it makes me sound crazy. Third point is, I tasted it really more than 20 times, but I still didn't taste peppermint. I thought I was tasting cinnamon. So that's when I realized this is a perfect example of confirmation bias. You know that term? You've learned it in psychology, intercultural studies somewhere. This is where our cognitive beliefs overtakes all other perceptual and sensory information, and we ignore the signs. Like I had three signs that I ignored: the writing on the tin, taste, and my daughter's statement, Mom, you don't have cinnamon mints in here, right? I ignored all those sensory and perceptual input. because my mind was believing this to be cinnamon. You see, what humbled me that day is that I took a big personal lesson from a tiny little, and this is one of those mini boxes, mini tins, tiny little Altoid tin box. And the lesson was this: to remain humble, to remain open, and to be vigilant regarding against confirmation bias and or any other mind frame biases that are often operational in our great mind that God gives us as a gift. And in our mind, he gives us the gift of learning, understanding, remembering, studying, all those other wonderful ways, the thinking gift that he gives through our mind. And we are also called to cultivate a mind of Christ. And I think to do that well, we need to also bracket mind frame biases like confirmation bias. So I hope you are wiser because of the story. And remember every time you reach for an Altoid tin to think of confirmation bias, what you might have in your life that you falsely believe because of past experiences. So sometimes we may activate confirmation bias when we are making decisions based on previous notions about a group of people, about a person, and all of this based on past experience and may not always be true, right? So God has given us the gift of a brilliant mind, and let's cultivate it as the Christ of, mind of Christ and bracketing confirmation bias. There's so much to give and receive in this life. And if you've been blessed to receive a lot of gifts, the world is waiting for your gifts. What will you give? And to be a good giver, we also want to be great, gracious receivers, right? And what will you receive? I shared with you some significant gifts, some gifts that I consider significant in my life. And I think when we can bias, when we can bracket all our biases, God can open a larger view of the world to us. He can open up the world. He can open up our view and our minds and reveal his calling to us. And I wish that for you, and I pray that for you. Look, he may be calling us to another country, to a very challenging job, or to a dream job, right? But if we have our confirmation biases or other mind frame biases activated, we may miss the details of those callings. In closing, may I ask that you will give generously, even in lack. Receive his word with utmost hunger, and give up confirmation bias and all the other kinds of mind frame biases that we might hold, so that God will reveal himself to you clearly, and that he will show you the path and calling, like you put your dream into the GPS machine, so it'd be so clear that you will not mistake it. When you do this, you'll receive the ultimate gift, a peace that surpasses all understanding as you live each moment of your life in the center of his divine purpose. So my charge to you is this: daily, submit yourselves to the transforming power of Jesus Christ, so that each moment you will discern his will, follow his word, treasure his word, and overcome mind frame biases of various kinds. And when you do this, you will find your place in the world. Why? Because you were born for this. Thank you.